Welcome. As an influencer, courtesy of SinuPrep for Kids Syrup, you have been granted exclusive access with Dr. Sears to get your pediatric questions answered. We are very happy to have you participate in today's call. Today, along with other like-minded peers, you will have the opportunity to ask questions and listen to one of America's leading pediatricians about children's health and wellness. Please remember that reproduction, distribution, or transmission of any part or parts of today's call is not permitted. However, today's call is being recorded and will be produced into podcast segments, which will be made available at www.bionoricausa.com. I would now like to turn the call over to Dr. Sears.
Why don't we go back to the phones again?
We're going to take our next question from Alex Seltzer from Baltimore, Maryland. Your line's open. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a pre-submitted question, and questionnaire wants to know, what vaccination should my baby toddler have and when, and are these vaccines safe?
How long do we have? That's about an hour-long question and answer. Maybe I'll throw out a little plug for my vaccine book. I know as an author, you know, my family, we've written dozens of books in the parenting category, and my latest passion is the vaccine book, and you can find it online. So if you want the you know, 10-hour long version of your answer, you might check out the vaccine book. Now, you know, baby and toddler, you know, I mean, you ask questions for both ages. It's really no good way to cover every single vaccine. I will make a few highlights, though. I think vaccines are very important because some of these diseases are very bad and can be a big risk to kids. I will say, as a pediatrician, what I've been doing in my practice is I vaccinate a little differently. I spread the shots out. I do give them all eventually, but I don't give so many during the first year. I just give the most important ones during the first year, and I give two shots at a time in my office. I have the kids come in about every month or so to get a couple shots. I do that instead of the alternative, which is the regular way most doctors do it, is they give six shots at each appointment, and then the kids come in about every 2 months. Instead of overloading like that, I tend to spread the shots out. So as you vaccinate, I think it is important to spread the shots out, and so you're not overloading your kid. And then there's definitely some shots that are a lot more important to start out with, such as the meningitis shots for babies and the whooping cough shot, the rotavirus vaccine. You know, those are all some very serious diseases babies can catch, and I think those are the most important shots to start out with. I will say that one shot that I don't start out with in babies that I like to delay until a baby's a little older, say during childhood, is the hepatitis B shot. Hepatitis B is a sexually transmitted disease, and the government felt it was important that we get all kids protected so when they're teens and they start messing around, they won't be spreading hepatitis B. I know that doesn't apply to any of our callers today, but other kids. Now, the government decided, let's give the babies the hepatitis B vaccine so we make sure we get them all done. We make sure no kids slip through the cracks. So it's actually, you know, a lot of babies are getting the hepatitis B series starting the day they're born in the hospital. They get their hep B shot. I don't really agree with that because it's not a disease a baby's going to come in contact with for many, many years, if ever. So that's the one shot I do like to delay and not give during infancy that most doctors might offer you. And then, again, for more information, I guess you can check out the vaccine book. So thanks for that very, very interesting question. Sorry we don't have 2 hours to give you a real complete answer on that. But I definitely encourage you to get very educated and informed about it.
We'll take our next question from Sarah Kahn from Baltimore, Maryland. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm asking a question on behalf of Jeanne from Washington, D.C. She says that her toddler has suffered from repeat ear infections since she was a year old. Initially, her and her husband went along with her pediatrician's recommendation to use antibiotics, but had noticed very quickly how ineffective they were for long-term treatment. She says that she is interested in trying SinuPrep as well as other homeopathic remedies, but would be doing so without the support of her doctor. She's mentioned her desire for alternative treatments, but her doctor's responses have been less than supportive. Do you have any recommendations about how to move forward with a pediatrician until she can find someone else more along her line of needs?
Yeah, well, you know, I certainly would not encourage you to do anything outside of your doctor's advice for right now until you do find yourself under the care of a doctor that you feel you're more in tuned with. I will suggest a couple of things. Number one, you could seek out the help of a naturopathic doctor. They tend, obviously, are going to trend towards more natural remedies and natural treatments, as well as ways to boost up the immune system. I will also say there's the kind of doctors that are called DOs, D as in David, D-O. It's a doctor of osteopathy. They're actually identical to a medical doctor, but they have more training. They have combined training in natural medicine and regular medicine. They're just as qualified as an MD. They're considered, you know, quotes, a real doctor, just like MDs are. A DO is definitely going to probably be more inclined to have you follow some more natural remedies and natural approaches, but also be there for when a mainstream, you know, a regular medicine approach is needed. I will point out a few things. Number one, for ear infections, one treatment that I've been finding works very well is garlic oil ear drops. You can find them online, garlic oil ear drops. Great treatment for ear infections. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics came out, I think, 2 years ago saying that pediatricians should no longer use antibiotics for mild and even mild to moderate ear infections unless a child is really sick or the fever and the pain are persisting for several days. But at the beginning of an ear infection, especially when it's mild, we're actually instructed not to use antibiotics. That's a great time to throw in the garlic oil ear drops because the garlic can act as an antibiotic and the oil acts as a pain reliever. So you might see some great results from the garlic oil. I will say on a totally separate note, you mentioned Sinupret, and I think during the fall and winter months, you know, parents will find their kids do need extra immune support and they need some support for the kids' sinuses and their respiratory system. And I think Sinupret is a great, natural supplement to help get kids through these coming months. So I do encourage you to give that a try with your doctor's guidance. And, thanks for that question. Oh, you know, I will let me throw in one more thing. I think you say your child is around age one. If your child has started drinking milk or dairy products, consider a milk allergy. Milk allergy is often one thing that causes kids to suddenly start getting a lot of ear infections. And any kid that I see get ear infections after they started drinking milk in their diet, I always like to try taking them off milk, and you might see some improvements happen there as well. So good luck as you seek out maybe a more naturally minded physician to help guide you on this. Let's take another question.
We will take our next question from Alex Seltzer from Baltimore, Maryland. Your line's open. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have another pre-submitted question, and it is, I have 5 children, and they're always fighting. How do I deal with sibling rivalry?
Okay, so that's great, because I have 3 boys, and I will say my boys never fight. No, not really. They do, but, you know, my wife figured something out that I think most of what I learned as a pediatrician, I learned from watching my wife and from, you know, raising my own kids. She came up with this great idea, and what she always did with the kids from an earlier age is whenever someone was fighting, she punished them both. Or in your situation, you punish them all. If 2, 3, or 4 or all 5 of the kids start fighting, there's a couple things. Number one, first of all, you can not intervene. You can stay back and just let them work it out. Well, you know what? Let me start with something else for number one, because you got to do something else before you get to that step. Number one, punish all the kids. Punish everybody. If there's a fight, unless obviously some kid is in a different room or totally not involved, but anyone who is involved in the fight, they both get punished. Send them both to their rooms, separate rooms, give them all a little, you know, 2, 3, or 4 minute timeout or longer if you need. Number two, you don't try to figure out who started it or whose fault it was. You don't even care. The rule in your house is we don't yell, scream, and fight. All right? We can have little arguments. You can talk about things. You can come to mom or dad for help, but you don't fight. You broke the rule. Doesn't matter whose fault it was or who started it. Everyone's getting punished. That way there's no blame. People aren't resenting each other and more resentful for someone else getting them in trouble. People aren't going to be inclined to tattletale on each other or want to get each other in trouble because, hey, if two kids are fighting and then one kid comes up and tells on them, and, you know, you'd punish both kids anyway. So it really, really cut down on the fighting in our house. Very, very minimal fighting because I think we took this approach right away. And then once this is going for a while and the kids realize they're all going to get punished, when you do see a squabble begin and a fight is starting, don't jump in right away. Don't intervene. Let them work it out because you're teaching, you've taught them that they can work it out. They might calm down and say, okay, guys, let's not argue. You take the turn first, or you can play the toy first, and then it's going to be my turn. You might be surprised at how they can work it out because they don't like the alternative. So that's the approach I took in our house and via my wife coming up with it, and we found it worked very, very well.
Thank you for participating in today's call. And as a reminder, the audio from today's call will be recorded and produced into podcast segment, which will be made available to all interested participants on www.bionoricausa.com/Dr. Sears. Please check back to this website to see when this will be available.